The presence of the Lord is so rich here this morning. So blessed we are. Amen. How many is blessed? Wow. I feel the presence of the Lord is here this morning. It's amazing how God works. Becky didn't know she was doing this, but she was a step into doing what God told her to do. She was down in a store. I don't even know the name of the store. And she saw this beautiful picture. Dale, have you got that easel, my friend? Yes. Thank you, brother. There you are. You're a step ahead of me. Heath, if you don't care, I'd like to set this easel somewhere where everybody can see it. Because I want to show you a beautiful picture that's going to hang in this worship center, the children's new wing, okay? You see that picture right here? This is Jesus hanging out with some of his kids. Do you know what Jesus is doing today? He's hanging out with some of his kids today. When we're kids, we want to be big. When I was a kid, I couldn't wait till I was 21. And then when I was 30, I wanted to be a kid again. Everybody in this room, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how educated you are. I don't care how cool you are. Everybody in here, no matter your age, we all have our the kid really at heart. Isn't that right? We're all kids, but when we grow up, we don't want to be like kids. And Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, but when I become grown, I put away childish things. Now, we know that kids, they exemplify certain characteristics that we as parents don't often like. But Jesus wanted us not to miss the powerful lessons that kids teach us. And today, I am blessed. I am blessed because my wife and I both, Mrs. R and I both, are so very blessed because I share this all the time. Because as a teacher, as an educator, fourth grade and sixth grade, back through the years, and nearly, 30 some years of teaching in the county school system, I was blessed to have so many kids, so many awesome kids. But, you know, I learned a lot from the heart of a kid. And my kids taught me a lot as a teacher. And that's an awesome thing. But I am blessed because I had that great opportunity to have those kids in my classroom. And I'm equally blessed to have them a second go around in another classroom. The classroom of faith. Amen. The classroom of faith. So I'm blessed to have known all of these kids and what I have learned from them through the years and what we can learn from our kids still and what Jesus meant in the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew. So if you have your Bible, I want to share some scriptures. Becky, I don't know if you got those things that I sent you today. I didn't know if you sent a response, but if you did. Matthew 18:3-4. Wow. The wonder of a kid. The wonder of a child. And you know, Jesus taught a powerful lesson, one of his most powerful lessons, by using children as that illustrated lesson. So the Bible said in Matthew chapter 18, if you're there and you can't stand, stand. If you can't stand, that's okay. For the reading of God's word. Not just out of respect to God's word. I know you respect God's word. And because you can't stand, we're not going to be religious about it, okay? If you're there, say amen. What did Jesus mean? Sometimes Jesus could say some pretty strange things or seem like strange. And what did Jesus mean by this statement? What did he mean by that? And what can we learn from that? This is what Jesus said. And I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. Really, actually, this is a discourse that Jesus was teaching his disciples, because some of them was asking the Lord, who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? And we often, you know, that's a part of our life, being the greatest. We teach that in our culture, in our society, to be, you know, to be great, you've got to accomplish great accomplishments. You've got to accomplish great things in your life. And we tag the word great onto a lot of things. We know all about that. Who's the greatest basketball player of all time? Well, in my opinion, it's MJ, okay? Some of you probably don't even know who MJ is. That's, well, okay. But in my opinion, okay, listen, you've got an opinion. Everybody's got an opinion who the greatest is. Who the greatest baseball player of all time? Well, in my opinion, well, okay. You could say Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron. You could say a lot of people there. Yes, you could say, yeah. You could say Roberto Clemente. You could say a lot of people. There's a lot of great baseball players. Who's the greatest race car driver of all times? You know, who is the greatest president of all times? Who's the greatest boxer of all times? Well, you know, he's probably going to say, you know, Mike Tyson. And some of you may say, well, Cassius Clay or Muhammad Ali. Some of you may say Sonny Liston. Some of you may say Sugar Ray Leonard. Rocky Marciano. Some of you may say a different boxer, but who is the greatest? We often ask that question, who the greatest is. Who's the greatest teacher? You know, in county local systems, they give out Teacher of the Year. In the state of Virginia, they give that state, you know, recognition to the greatest teachers of that year. We emphasize the word great on what seems to be something we achieve in our life, something that we do. But, you know, Jesus had a problem with time with his disciples, because as he was walking along the way, he overheard them arguing with each other who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom when the kingdom came. Who was going to sit at his left hand and right hand, which is, in their mind, a mark of who would be the greatest. You know, to be greater. And I'm sure they butted heads in their daily, you know, things that their ministry. I'm sure that many times they butted head and tried to, there was a pecking order or a butting of heads to want to be the greatest one of Jesus' disciples. I want to be ready. You know, we want to do great things for God. But listen, being great things for God doesn't mean that we have all the banners and all the accolades pinned to our suit. Amen? Because this is what Jesus is saying. This is what he is saying, who the greatest in the kingdom of God is. So Matthew chapter 18. Who is the greatest in the kingdom realm? At that time, the disciples came to ask Jesus, who is considered to be the greatest in heaven's kingdom realm. Lord, who's going to be the greatest? Can you just imagine? Elijah, Jeremiah, Moses. Woo, there's a big, long list. A mighty man who did great exploits. That's not written there, by the way. I see some of you looking for that. That's not there. I just pushed a pause, okay? Let's go back to text. And Jesus called a toddler. Come here, Rod. I know you're not a toddler, okay? But Jesus called a child. And he set a child in their midst. And just stand there 1 second. I won't embarrass you, okay? Just stand there. You're doing really great, okay? And you're doing this for Jesus, okay? So he called this child or this toddler to his side, and he said to them, learn this well. Oh, I like the way the Passion says it. Unless you dramatically change your way of thinking. Oh man, you know, sometimes adults have thinking. Not a word, as quiet as a mouse in here. Oh, I know you're holy and you got it all together, right? I know you never worry about stinking thinking, right? So unless you change the way of your thinking and become teachable. Woo! I'm going to ask you a question. Are you teachable? Or have you already got it figured out and nobody can tell you what to do? We all got to learn lesson learning about being teachable. Let's continue on. He says, and become teachable and learn about heaven's kingdom realm with the wide open wonder of a child. I love that. Sometimes don't we as adults lose our wonder? We lose our wonder to be able to play. A kid can go out and play with a caterpillar all day long. Chase it, play with it, put it in his pocket. You know, scare the neighbors with it. Scare his sisters with it like I did one time. Throwing it in her bathwater of Evie. That was a lesson I escaped, but I learned a lesson. Never throw a woolly worm in a bathtub of an older sister. So my question to you, never throw a woolly worm in the bathtub of anybody, okay? Is everybody with me? Amen? I'm telling you, God's going somewhere with this. He says, you've got to keep the wide open wonder of a child, or you will never be able to enter the kingdom of God. And whoever continually is to humble himself to become like this gentle child is the greatest one in heaven's kingdom realm. Amen. You may be seated. Let's praise the Lord for his word this morning. Wow. You know, a child is such a powerful blessing in people's lives. Children are such a powerful blessing in people's lives. And if you have children here today or grandchildren, you are richly blessed. But we can learn so much from our kids. We can learn a lot about God through our children. We can learn a lot through our children. We can learn a lot about service and leadership. Now, I'm going to throw something at you right here, and you're probably going to have difficulty with it. But Jesus was really giving a discourse to his leaders, who would be his future leaders in the church. And he was saying, if you want to be a good leader in this world, you want to be a leader, you want to accomplish something, you say you want to do great things. Well, if you do want to do great things, then I'm going to teach you a lesson in leadership 101. And he brings his child up and he says, this is my object lesson. You have to have a teachable spirit. You've got to have an humble heart. You've got to humble yourself before the Lord. You've got to be submissive before the Lord. You've got to surrender your will to his will. You know, Burger King had this saying, and some of you too young to remember it. At Burger King, you get to have things your way. Listen, in the kingdom of God, guess what? You don't get to have things always your way. Amen? This side is more convinced than anybody else today of that truth. And to approach God with this wide-eyed wonder, the ability to just play and enjoy ourselves. I like the translation where it says that David went before the ark as they brought the ark of the covenant, the presence of God, into the city of Jerusalem. Because in David's thinking was God is returning to his rightful place. So David went before the ark the second time around, and he came. And the Bible said he danced before the Lord, or before the ark, as they brought it in. He was in a celebrative mood, or he was just abandoned. He had a reckless abandon. Abandonment. He had a wild heart that day after God. And he just took off all his restrictors, and he just worshiped God. The Bible said he played before the Lord with all of his heart. He played before the Lord with all his heart. You know, when we get grown up, we get too sophisticated for God. You know, our kids are really connected to God. Do you know that? Well, let me say it again. You know, the Bible said in Matthew chapter 19, and also in the book of Mark, that there was, Jesus was on his way, and there were some children wanting to interact with Jesus, wanted to play and hang out with him. And some of the cool guys, some of the older people said, no, Jesus don't have time for these kids. Jesus always got time for kids. The last time I heard it, you was a kid, and God's got time for you. So God's got time, even if they get a little smaller, God's got time for all of us. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? That God has time for you. And Jesus took the time to say this powerful message. Suffer, in the New King James, but allow these children to come unto me. Let them hang out with me, because such is the kingdom of God. That's what the kingdom of God's going to be like. It's going to be like these kids. But when we get older, we lose our ability to play before the Lord. Pride enters in. We get a lot of wrong information religiously and socially pumped into us. So therefore, we get this mindset, and it holds us back from God. But a kid don't have that, because they're not interested in theology. A kid's not interested in theology. A kid will just believe God. When God tells a child something, when you tell a child something, they'll believe it 100%. I knew that, and I learned that teaching school years ago. Because I'd walk into my classroom and I have a little bit of fun. Kevin, is all right if I have a little fun as a teacher? I walk into my classroom and I'd say something crazy like this. Guess what? Scientists just have discovered that the moon is made out of cheese. And kids would go, let me say that again. Some of you all need, God needs to get a hold of your toe and just give you a big yank. Get the yanks out of you, okay? Some of us need to lighten up. Everybody say, lighten up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's all right to laugh. It's all right to smile. It's all right to play. It's all right to have a good time. It's all right to enjoy your relationship with God. Steve, it's like, yeah, kids can do that. How cute. Look at those kids up there. Man, ain't that cute? How awesome that is. Now I hear adults say, I wish I could do that. Why can't you? Why can't you? Oh, that's the big question. That's the $100 question. Why can't you? Why can't you? Why can't you? Why can't you, Roman? Why can't you? Because when we become adults, we worry more about image. Kids don't worry about image. Listen, Mrs. R and our grandkids, Willow, she used to be this, Jake, and all the rest of them, Demi, Hannabeth, all the rest of them, she used to do this, but they've grown up. But Willow and Ben, listen, grandmother, as the people call her, she wants our kids, when they go out, to look presentable, of course, look like their kids, but not look messy, okay? Like kids can get. How many know that kids can get messy sometimes? Now, has you ever get messy before? You ever heard your mom say, "How did you get in that mess, Naz?" I bet you'd like to have a nickel for every time you heard that, right? Riley, I bet you'd like to have a nickel for every time you say that. Well, Mrs. R, our grandmother, just, you know, and she relays that message to Jenny. You know, listen, make sure she don't have cookie on her face. Get the pudding off her dress. Get the chocolate off Ben's pants. You know, we worry about image. We do. That's just the way parents are. We want our kids to be clean. We want them to look right. But a kid don't worry about that. How many kids? Listen, a kid can wear chocolate all week long. It don't matter. A kid can wear cookies all week long. In fact, if you check their pockets, they probably got a few in their pockets. They probably also got pudding. They probably also got some night crawlers. They probably also got some bugs. They probably also got some toads. They probably got some stuff hidden somewhere that reminds us the wonder, the wide open wonder of a child. Did you ever do that, Josh? Did you ever hide crawdads under the bed? Did you ever chase turtles in the creek? Well, I mean, you know, not chase them. Turtles can't run, but you know what I'm saying. Look for them. Did you ever go fishing? Did you ever go fishing with a pin being up the other way because you didn't have fish hooks? Did you ever go fishing with an old stick that you broke off of a tree and you skinned it real good and you put a big piece of string on the other end of it, and the string was a lot bigger than the little, what do you call them, pins that you put in clothes? Safety pins. How many's ever done that as a child? Wow. How many's ever stuck their hands under rocks for crawdads and lizards and salamanders? How many's ever chased a butterfly around half the day finding the right butterfly? And how many at night has ever collected a jar full of fireflies through the night? Have we lost our ability to chase fireflies? Have we lost our ability to play before the Lord, to be magnify Him and give God our total self and not worry about what people think about us? You know what? I'm going to give you some theology right here. I'm going to give you some good theology right here. Don't worry about what people think, because they really don't think anyway. Amen? Just enjoy the Lord. Learn and enjoy the Lord. Enjoy the presence of God. We're going to a place where there are going to be no restrictors. We're going to a place where we're going to all dance and play before the Lord. Hundreds of years. Guess what? Rodney's already up there playing. He's dancing in fields of grace. Amen. He's in the presence of Jehovah. He's in the presence of Jesus. Don't ever lose your ability to play, brother. Don't ever lose it. Don't sit back there with most of the population and say, "How cute." You be up there with them. You want to teach your children something? Teach them how to worship by you worshiping. Amen. In front of them. Teach them how to pray by you praying with them and for them. Teach them how to pray. You want to teach them that they're a dream chaser, that their dreams are big, to make them believe that whatever God can do in them is bigger than they are. Because you teach your kids every day, my friend. Whether you believe it or not, the greatest teacher It's not Mr. Silly Cox. Silly Socks, they used to call him in school. Ronci Silcox, I don't know if you know him. But in school, the kids called him Mr. Silly Socks because he wore silly socks all the time. You know, he was a great teacher. I've known some great teachers. One of the greatest teachers is Mrs. R right here. She loved her kids. She was a great educator, a great teacher. And I'm not just saying that to earn brownie points. I mean it. She really was. I wish I could have been half the teacher she was. But there's one thing about it. The greatest teacher is the Lord Himself. And next in line to the Lord is the mommy and daddies that they have given charge over that quiver full of arrows to bless. Oh, I know. I've talked to Becky and Dale before about all the escapades that must go on in a family of eight on a Sunday morning, or nine, or ever how many you got. There's a lot. Just say, everybody say a lot. And you know, I know they get impatient. I know they feel like that they fail in the department of teaching, but they give it 100%. To these kids, and they teach them powerful lessons. I remember when Emma was in the hospital. Oh man, what, the chair, the dancing, what was that about, Miss Becky? You know, dancing around the chair, how was it you all danced and did warfare? You did spiritual warfare when Emma was tell us real quickly about that. Allison, yeah. Oh, Allison. Tell us what you did, Allison.
Sick, we had a prayer service at the church, and that was the first time that I'd ever seen how close the kids were to God and how they were just crying out and they believed, and they didn't worship because they wanted it to happen. They were thanking Him for the healing that He had already given her.
Amen. Amen. But I've seen video clips of these kids with their God TV or their Jesus Culture music or whatever they have on their big screen TV, and the kids would come out and they just dance and worship God. If they go into trouble mode, they get the worship out and get the worship on. They pour the Word of God into their kids. I want to say, what does God see? What does God see in you through the eyes of your kids? Does He see a heart that is with reckless abandonment? Does He see a heart that's totally after Him? Does He see a heart that's about worship and praise? See, we can teach our kids, but the greatest teaching is what we do by example. What we do by example. Jesus was the greatest teacher, and He taught by example. How many knows that Jesus just didn't say a bunch of stuff? Jesus taught by the life that He lived. We teach our kids. We pour into our kids. And when they go through crisis, when we go through crisis, like little Axlan is, and Judah. And I'm so glad that family, it was ordained that they named Judah, Judah. Because he's a little praiser. And the word Judah means praise, biblically. They named him that. And so has he followed that. Because Judah, even as a little boy, how old is he? 4 years old, he's a worshiper. He's a praiser. He's one of the first ones up here. He can't wait to get to church. He's even told his mom and daddy, let's go to church so I can worship and get my praise on. Let me tell you something. Oh, I wish the adults, the grown-ups, I wish we could all simplify that kind of passion. Like David said, and all when they said, let's go unto the house of the Lord, I was glad. I was getting my worship. I was getting my praise on. You want to teach your kids how to worship and praise? Praise with them. Worship with them. Be passionate. Keep that wide open wonder after them. I looked at the word childlike. And this is wrapping down here. Because we all got a lesson. One of those powerful lessons that Jesus was teaching his disciples here is how to humble yourself. Can I say something? And there, being quiet doesn't mean you're humble. Big difference. Humble is a submissive, surrendered attitude to the lordship of Christ and those that he has placed in authority over you. I didn't choose this job I'm doing. I'll say this, I didn't even ask the Lord for it. And sometimes I wonder, Lord, why me? There's people a lot more skilled, a lot more qualified, a lot more eloquent preachers and speakers, a lot more theologically depth in scriptures and study and things like that. But why? I don't know. Sometimes I don't know the answer totally together why the Lord does what he does. It's the same thing Miss Robinson asked me one time. And I know you've heard this, but I was assigned special needs kids, and I had special ed kids, and I had collaborative education. And I was one of the first ones to be in the classroom in Wise County, piloting that, and under Dr. Johnston. But after the years go on, you know, you've got kids. They all come with needs. They all come with baggage. How many know that? You don't get to push button kids, do you? So year after year, you know, you're ending up with sometimes the kids that other teachers don't want. You say, why do you say that? Because I've overheard conversations. I don't want those kids. I don't want that kid in my class. They're too big of a problem. So Miss Selena, I'd end up with those kids. I may have not made scholars out of them, Rhodes Scholars. I may have not turned them into scientists and doctors and scientists. But one thing I could do, and one thing we can all do as a child, and we can love. You may not be a perfect mom and dad, but there's one thing you can do nobody else can do for your kid, and that's love them unconditionally, amen? You love them warts and all. You love them cookies and all. You love them crawdads and all. You love them toads and all. You love them. And so I went to Mrs. Robinson. She's superintendent of Dixon County Schools now, and I went to her. And while she was still principal at the middle school. And I said, Miss Robinson, I need a break this year. I need a break. I just, maybe some kids that's, you know, real strong academically and all of them really good behavior, you know. Just give me a classroom like that. And she said, Mr. Reynolds, you know why I put those kids in your room? And I said, punish me? No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Don't you dare go out and say that. You know why I do that? Because I know you'll love him, Mr. Reynolds. I know you'll love him. You know what? We may be a motley crew. We may be all from everywhere, and we may be all from every kind of life place, and we've all come from different places. We may have all been here or been there. We may have all been up or down, but God, for some reason, in his great wisdom, chose to assemble a group of misfits, a group of remnant here in this little tiny corner of Wise County. And you know why? because he knew somebody would love him. Amen. Somebody needs to give a shout to the Lord. Hannah Beth, shout. A wide-eyed wonder of a kid. I was preaching one day, and I'm quoting honestly. I think the Lord just wants us to, as Heath used to say, just park the bus. But I want to share a couple of illustrations here. I was preaching. I really pretty down, discouraged, carrying the burden of pastoring. And wondering all the time, Lord, am I doing it right? Am I missing you? And I know I have. I have many times. If you're looking for a perfect pastor, you're looking in the wrong place. It be not me. Because I mess up more than anybody. I'm not saying I'm willfully going out trying to mess up. But the best I can do, somehow or another, I come short. But I was... had a heavy load on me that Sunday morning. I was preaching and I was pushing hard and trying to get people to get a hold of the word and embrace them. I was trying to encourage them and I was feeling the weight. And then after the service, I didn't know this, but little Willow Bean, this was a couple years ago, maybe when she was 2 years old, she was up in the sound booth. I don't know if she was Becky with Becky or who she was with. And she says, look, Granddad. Look, Granddad. Yeah, I was up here and been loud, been crazy, you know, like I am. She said, look, Granddad. Look, Granddad. What was it she said?
She said, Jesus is on your shoulders.
I didn't hear you.
She said, Jesus is on your shoulders.
So Jesus, I see Jesus on Granddad's shoulder. Now, let me tell you something. We can all pass that off and say, oh, how cute. She must love her granddaddy real good. That's not what that was about. That's what I needed to hear that day. And that word from the Lord came from me, from one of the youngest in the house, a 2-year-old baby who loves Jesus, and she loves Jesus. She's going to make a commitment in her faith early to Jesus. And she's going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit early to Jesus. And God's going to use her. She's going to be an anointed prophetess. And God's going to use her mighty in the kingdom of God. She'll be a minstrel. She'll be a worship leader. God's going to do that. But God's going to do that in your kids. Wow. Zane, Z-Man. Z-Man, Zane. Man, he's up here worshiping God. He's got his dance on. He's got his dance on. He's got those moves. And he's going to preach the gospel one day. I may never see it, but he's going to preach the gospel one day. Jake. Oh, Jake. Granddad's a little preacher man. He's going to preach the gospel. Because I've declared Isaiah 60 over my children in the last verse. And my word shall not depart from you, nor out of the mouth of your seed or their seed from this day forth. I declare that over them. Like little Peyton, little household of prophets and prophetesses here. Song leaders, Boo's family, your kids, Bree, Clay, Kevin, everybody in here today, the widest. Just look around us, how rich we are and how blessed we are with our kids. Kara, those precious kids are going to serve the Lord. Maybe do mission work in a foreign field somewhere and share the gospel to people. Roy, there's a household of prophets and preachers in your house, my friend. And we are blessed. We're blessed. Our kids are so in tune with God. And I'm thankful today that we have. Sometimes I fail God. I'm going to tell you right now, be transparent right here, how I fail God sometimes. Because of fear. Oh, you see, pray for old Pastor Art. Woo, Pastor Art said he's afraid. Woo, 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 woo. For afraid of what people would think because I brag on my kids. Well, that's just the pastor, you know. That's just his kids. That's just his kids. But we have anointed youth leaders. We have anointed children church leaders. We have anointed children church workers. We have anointed nursery leaders. We have anointed people of God here that are leading our children. And if you could only see what they're teaching our kids. Playing games is good. That's wonderful. Kids love to play, remember? But when they're taking them into people's homes and laying hands on the sick and praying that they recover, wow, I want my kid that kind of higher learning. Amen? I want them plugged in to that higher learning. And Adam, where's Adam? Where art thou, Adam? Is he gone? Is he up there? Well, when he gets back, did he step out a second? I want to see Adam a second. So today, it's so powerful. It's so powerful today. What Jesus saw in these children and what he was trying to convey into the hearts of these grown-up disciples and followers of him. If you want to be great in my kingdom, if you want to be great in my kingdom, then you got to humble yourself. You got to repent, change your way, humble yourselves. And that is what the kingdom of God is about. I think about here, Miss Hannah Beth. At a previous church we used to go to, grandmother and I used to carry her around up the front when we worship. Heath and them, I think maybe it was going to another church, and sometimes they get to come with us. But Hannah Beth, you know how silly Hannah Beth can be sometimes. But from a very young age, she had powerful connections to the supernatural. And I'm talking about the Jesus world, okay? Not the ooh, not I'm talking about the Jesus world, okay? So we were carrying around Kathy up in the front, and she would keep pointing up there. And she'd say, Jesus, Jesus. And grandmother would say, what do you see up there, Hannah? And she'd say, I see Jesus. Well, what does he look like, Hannah Beth? He's got a big white suit on. And he's standing up there. Do I believe that? 100%. 100%. Never underestimate the faith of a child. Never underestimate the faith of a child. Jesus said, we've got to have faith like these children. To believe me, to trust me. Come here, Adam. I'm not going to punch you out, embarrass you too bad, okay, buddy? I'm not going to make you say anything, okay? This young man right here, I've seen him grow as a child, and for a long time, he just sort of stood on the background. And he has so much talent, he has so much potential in him. He sort of played under the shadow of Corey and being a lot younger and trying to find ways that God could get him involved. And we challenged him. Will challenged him to start being a part, coming. Now, he is a mad hatter of a sound technician and videographer up there. Hold on, grandmother. Don't fall out yet. And so God is using this young man. He's found a place to plant. Now he's thriving and he's growing in his relationship with God. Now he's in the sixth grade. He's not in the eighth grade. He's not a freshman. He's not a sophomore in high school. He's a sixth grader, him and Jake. And they have their own, Holy Cross connection to this ministry. And they're ministering to people online. They're praying for people online. I'm talking about these are sixth graders, friend. These are not big people. These what some people would call children. And Jesus said, if you have faith as these children, that's what Jesus is saying. I'm proud of you. I'm closing right here. You know what childlike is? Look at this definition. It's becoming a child. When you're older, much older in your life, there are times when people revert back to their childhood. It's not always by your choosing. But Jesus is saying here, to be a part of the kingdom of God, we've got to continue to be like children throughout our experiences in life. To be teachable. To be humble before the Lord. To humble yourself before God. Be submissive. Surrender your heart. Listen. Put away pride. There's some people say, I'm not going to do that crazy stuff. I'll do that crazy stuff. Because the Lord says for me to do some crazy stuff. Okay? But think about this. Creative. Children have such creative ability. Imagination. They can play all day long with a make-believe friend. They can have fun. Adults, we need to have fun. God ought to be a fun experience. If you're not having fun in your relationship with Jesus, something is missing. And if you look, it may be the wonderment of a child. You need to go back to 101 and get your child faith on again. Just have fun in your relationship with God. Rick, just have fun. Just take the brakes off and dance like I've seen you dance until you about fell down before. Can you believe that? I've seen Rick do that before. I've seen Rick just about fall out in the spirit. He danced so hard. Joyful. Kids are always happy, aren't they? Don't they just drive you batty sometimes? They're always giggling and laughing all the time. Come on, guys. Stay with me just 1 second. Don't you kids sometimes? You say, what are you so happy about all the time? Guess what? Let me tell you one thing. They don't worry like mom and dad does. Do you hear what I said? They don't worry, Sal, like mom and dad does. We get up and we make it our goal to worry all day long. And Jesus said, that don't add one cubit to your stature. You're not going to fix it by worrying about it. It's called trust. Does your kids, do they all through the week long, Roman? Daddy, are we going to be able to eat this evening? Are we going to be able to eat day after tomorrow? Am I going to have some clothes the first day of school? They don't ask questions like that. You know why? They don't worry about stuff like that. You know why they don't worry? Because they trust Dad is going to provide those things that they need. We would worry less if maybe we trust more. Including me. I got 2 people in here. So I'm preaching only to 2 people in here, right? The rest of you never worry. You never stress. You never get anxious. You never struggle with anxiety. You never do any of that stuff because you never worry, right? No. Because we do. So the Lord says, learn something from these children I'm showing you today. They're loving, they're kind, they're gentle, they're humble, they're forgiving. You can have two kids on the playground sock each other like the socking boxers or whatever those used to be called. Okay? They're mad at each other. And listen, at the end of the day, they're walking home together. Got their arm around each other. You want to go home? You want to go home and play some army this evening? Let me go home and play. Show you my new cowboy boots. You want to see my new cat buster? Man, hit bust really loud caps. But 2 hours before they were fighting, getting each other down. Maybe us adults need to learn a lesson about forgiveness. Unless we're willing to be children and humble ourselves and swallow pride and say, I messed up. I'm sorry. I said that wrong. I behaved wrong. Jesus said, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. If you don't forgive, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. Do you hear? I didn't say that. Jesus said it. We got to be willing to forgive, don't we? Jesus said, as I have forgiven you, forgive one another. Forgive people their trespasses. Forgive people their offenses. We all mess up. Forgive them. And God seeks that childlike submissiveness. Let's be about that today. Let's be the trusting one that God desires us to be. Let's be the believing one without complications. Let's be the child. Let's be the childlike faith that hasn't allowed the preconceived notion of the world to form his decision-making process like we allow the world to form us sometimes. Let's be more easy to forgive. A child receives a joy, instructions, forgetting themselves with light-hearted abandonment. A child is humble. Oh, let me say this. Willow got a radio flyer, Hot Wheel. Poor Will had to work through sweat and fire yesterday to get that thing put together in no time. But he brought that on Ben's birthday, because Ben got something like that too. And they brought it and they put it up on the deck. And as soon as Willow saw that with that big long flag on the back of it, she went, "What?" You know what? Jesus said, I give you joy. Unspeakable and full of glory. You know what God like to see his kids do when he gives you things? He'd like to see you do one of these things. I think we ought to do it right now if you're not too big. How old are you, Dakota? 20. You're just a kid. Stretch. Rick, did you give me a woo, brother? Larry, did you give me a woo? Quit worrying about being cool. Coolness will not get you into the kingdom of God. Coolness will not get you through the gate. Splendor, coolness will not get you into the presence of God. Your humility, your forgiveness, your surrender, and your submission, and your humility will get you into the kingdom of God. Amen. Truthful. They say truthful. Don't ever ask a kid a question if you don't want the truth. I used to ask my kids if they liked something I had on, or, and some of them be nice and say, "Yeah, Mr. Harvey, you look cool." And then some of them say, "No, I don't like it." You get what I'm trying to say, what the Lord's trying to say to you today? I said, do you get that? The only way that I know that you get it is if you put it into practice. This is what the Lord said in Psalms. Closing on this. Psalms 8 and verse 2. You have built a stronghold by the songs of your babies. I have a word for you. And the Lord says, I have built a stronghold in you by the songs of your babies. I have built a stronghold in you by the songs of your babies. I have built a stronghold in you by the songs of your babies. I have built a stronghold in you by the songs of your babies. Listen, as long as I'm senior pastor up here, friend, our kids are going to sing a song to the Lord. Amen. Sing, shout, play with reckless abandonment. And Hattie's going to join him one day. Just remain standing. Oh, I love this word. This word is a personal word to a lot of people in here today. You better get a hold of this, because the Lord's trying to speak a word into your heart today. You built a stronghold. Lost Creek, you have built a stronghold. Rick, we have built a stronghold against the wrath of our enemies. Miss Selena, we have built a stronghold against the wrath of our enemies. He says, you've built a stronghold by the songs of your babies. Strength rises up. Oh, listen to this. Ooh, I wish everybody would hear me what I'm saying. Strength rises up with the chorus of singing children. You know where our strength is? It's not in all of our big adult stuff. Our strength lies within our children. You're not getting it. You're not getting it. Some of you too worried about a burger run right now without getting the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. You can go to some, nothing wrong with that. I've been to them. Great Bible conference, great prophetic conference, and you can hear all kinds of powerful prophecy. But God has given you a prophetic word today. Latch on to it, because our strength lies within the singing of our children. This kind of praise. Listen to this. Everybody say, this kind of praise. And our little jewels are coming in right now, okay? So hang on. This kind of praise has the power. Oh, shut the devil's mouth. This kind of praise shuts the devil's mouth. Becky Dale, you're on it. You know why praise arises in your house? It's because that kind of praise shuts the devil's big mouth. Listen, you want to shut the devil's mouth in your life? Keep lifting your children up. Well, Jesus knew what he was talking about. This kind of praise has the power to shut the devil's mouth. Children. Because childlike worship, speaking to us, Childlike worship will silence the madness of those who oppose you. Childlike worship will silence the enemy who opposes you. Worship. Your worship is important, friend. When we come and we're worried about being cool here, and we may not all come from the same background, but today God's trying to teach us a powerful word. Humble yourself today. Be submissive. Surrender. Yielding to God. Let your life be an example of humility, and also in your loving kindness and your forgiveness toward others. Because we're teaching our children more than we think. Amen. We're teaching our children how to be powerful warriors in the kingdom of God, how to pull down strongholds, and how to advance the kingdom of God. And I believe that about our kids today. So this is what the Lord says as we want to close this out. He said, I need some of my kids to really be kids again this morning. I need some of my kids to just come and get in my lap and humble themselves before me and say, Dad, I've messed up a lot. I've been a little bit rebellious at times in my life. You ever been rebellious before? I don't know, maybe nobody in here, but I have. I've been rebellious. I've wanted to do it my way. And so God said, listen, if you want to be blessed in my kingdom, then learn from this child that I've shown you today. And today, if you're here and you have anything you want to submit or surrender to the Lordship of Jesus, if you're here and you've never been saved, then today is the day to come and humble yourself and say, Lord, come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Cleanse me of my sin. Forgive me, Lord, because I've gone off the path. I've gone my own way. I've messed up as one of your kids. So I surrender today. I humble myself. And that's all. I'm not going to count. But if there's something you need to become humble before today, I want you to come right now. I want you to come right now and humble yourself before the Lord right now. Humble yourself. Humble yourself right now before the Lord. So you never worry, you never stress, you never have anxiety. You never have a problem with unforgiveness sometimes. You never get mad and rant and rave sometimes. You never do any of that stuff. Well, if you don't, that's wonderful, man. I would like to talk to you at the end of the service, and I'd like to share with you how you do that. Because I mess up. I mess up as one of Dad's kids. I mess up as one of God's kids. I really do. I mess up. But then I fess up. And then God says, just get up. Lord, thank you for all these are coming today. All these are coming today. All these are coming today. All these are your kids, Lord. All these are your children. All these are your children. They're totally trusting you, Lord. Believing in you, God. You're going to supply their needs, Lord, today. You're going to move in their situations, in their life. Lord, we believe that with all of our heart. We thank you, Lord, today that you're meeting them at their point. You're seeing their faith. You're seeing their faith. You're seeing their humility. You're seeing their submissiveness, Lord. And Father God, I know that you're going to pour yourself into them today. You're going to pour yourself into them. You're going to pour yourself into them. You're going to pour yourself into them because, Lord, they're becoming like children. We're like children, Lord. We're going to be like children today, Lord. I'm going to lay it all down at your feet, Lord. I'm going to lay it at the Father's feet.